D1, number 6A.
So, I've tried to show up to now, through those days of creation, especially the 6th and the 7th, how we arrive at the higher consciousness, where we look out from the Absolute, but also where our seeking and finding and using becomes just being. And that being is nothing else but the divine, infinite calculus ever going on, symbolized in the Bible as the city four square, as the highest symbol that the Bible gives. In some documents that have been found, perhaps which you know and have afterwards been printed as the sayings of Jesus, in those very, very old documents, there is one thing which is quite illustrative to what we have been doing. It is the saying 2 of Jesus, saying number 2, where Judas says, "Who then are they who draw us?" See, it's the question, what then do we have to do? What is that which brings us there where we have that final consciousness? Who then are they who draw us? And when shall come the kingdom which is in heaven? You see, they had still a sense of the Old Testament, when shall it come? Whereas the fifth day of creation, the 5,000-year period, makes nothing of time and history and shows it's here. Jesus saith, "The birds of the air and the beasts, whatsoever is under the earth or upon the earth, and the fishes of the sea," we see the symbols of the fifth day and the beginning of the sixth day, the beasts, "these are they which draw you." They were those who caught us first when John Dorley showed us that the Bible is us. They draw us. And then he goes on, "And the kingdom of heaven is within you." You still have the within. "And whosoever shall know himself shall find it." Whosoever shall know himself shall find it. See, once we shall know ourselves, and we have seen what is ourselves, nothing else but God knowing himself, God's consciousness of himself, God looking at himself, that he called men, and he called them male and female. "And the kingdom of heaven is within you, and whosoever shall know himself shall find it." Then we shall find it. "And when ye have found it, ye shall know that ye are the sons and heirs of the Almighty Father." That's the further step. Then we know mind is me, spirit is me, soul is me, and so on. But that's not the end. "And ye shall know that ye are in God," for the oneness, that principle and idea is one, and God in you, so that there is only principle and idea as one. And then he said, "And ye are the city of God." And he gave them that new name. He said, "What is your new name?" "Ye are the city of God." And we know that the symbol of the city of God as that divine infinite calculus, that four-sided city. The Word, Christ, Christianity and science operating through the seven. That's ye. That's being. That's the new name, if we want to give us a new name. That was 2,000 years ago, and so today I think we are allowed to go further and just see we don't need a new name. All what we need is the true nature of being, not new names. I don't gain anything if somebody calls me by a new name. Perhaps if somebody gives me a pet name, I think that's very nice and jolly and I have a new pet name, but that doesn't change me. That doesn't give to my nature another nature. But what is needed is that we have a new nature. And if we re-identify that, that's all right, but that's only secondary, very unimportant. So ye are the city. So let's see that we come out and have come out for a long time out of that point where we feel that man is a thinker about God. Man is not a thinker about God. So often we say, let me think about God. But man cannot think about God. The smaller cannot fathom infinity. That's what the seventh day has shown. That human capacity is inadequate to fathom the infinite. The only thing that can fathom the infinite is the infinite himself. So, from the point of view of mind, we come out of that point where we think about God. And the new standpoint is really that mind is revealing himself. That's the only standpoint. We are no more thinking about God. We are just having that mind of Christ where mind reveals itself continually to itself. From the point of view of spirit, we are no more a reflector of God. We cannot be a reflector of God. All that there is going on is spirit reflecting on itself. Spirit reflecting itself infinitely. So it's no use to try to reflect God. If we try to reflect God, we say we are a reflector. All that there is going on is that spirit reflects on itself. From the point of view of soul, we come out from that sense that man is that who is an identifier, so to say, with God. That man identifies himself with God. It's all right at the beginning, but now we see all initiative stays with God. He is the doer, so soul identifies itself infinitely. That's the standpoint, where we see that soul identifies itself infinitely as the ideas of soul, and we let soul do it. Quite wonderful. Think of the tremendous job we would have if we would try to identify all those 3,000,000,000 people on the earth rightly. Quite a job. How simple if only one is going on instead of 3,000,000,000. Only one. So, identifying itself infinitely. We leave the job to God to do it. In principle, we come out of that sense that man is an interpreter of God, an interpreter of the Bible, an interpreter of the textbook. The only being that can interpret rightly is principle itself. Only principle itself can interpret itself rightly and does it infinitely. In life, we come out of that sense that man is a practitioner of God. I cannot practice God. How could I practice God? How could a small mortal practice the infinite? The greater rules the lesser, so the infinite life practices on me, on you, on all, on itself. Life is the great practitioner and practices and lives for itself. In truth, I come out of that sense that man is a demonstrator of God. I cannot demonstrate God. He doesn't obey me. He doesn't obey my wishes. He doesn't obey my commands. Think, he not even obeys me. Truth is demonstrating itself. And truth is infinite, and so truth demonstrates itself infinitely. And in love I come out of that sense that I'm a lover of God. I cannot love God except God has loved me first. The initiative is always with the synonymous term, with God, with the infinite. And that love is one love, and so love loves all. And I don't even like that all, I just love to see that God loves itself. The moment I have the all, I have a feeling he has to take care of all the various things, because he himself is just one infinite and is as such love. It's a fact in being, a fact in being that God is loving itself or herself. So we can feel how we come nearer and nearer, really, to that climax which Mrs. Eddy has given in 1907, that principle and idea is one. Jesus still had said, I and the Father are one. The objective approach. Mrs. Eddy puts it in the subjective and says, principle and its idea is one. And this one is God. So God is both principle and idea. God is a name which we give to that whole thing of principle and its idea. Principle and its idea is one, and this one is God. And then she defines this God as omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent being, with a capital B. So being is principle and idea as one. Therefore, every time we see an idea, we see the infinite one. Every time we touch an idea, we touch the infinite one. We can never have an idea separate from the infinite one. Therefore, ideas are never separate from its principle. And this is the difficulty which we sometimes have in expressing it properly, so that we don't say man is mind, man is spirit, or man is soul. He isn't. principle, and idea is one. Therefore, to see it rightly, we can see, therefore, mind and its idea is one. What does it mean? That man really is mind capitalized, that man is mind individualized. But still remaining mind, that individualization. Can you see the point? Man is not mind, full stop. Man is mind's idea, therefore mind individualized. That's man. Mind capitalized, mind individualized is man. But that individualization is still within the infinite self-containment of mind. It's not outside of mind. It's still mind-ish, capitalized. This is the big point. See, so mind is spirit individualized, but still remaining spirit. I want to point that out so that you don't go home and say, now Max has said, man is God, man is mind, man is spirit, man is soul, man is principle, man is life and truth and love. I haven't said that. I have said that mind, conscious of itself, the sixth day calls man. Mind capitalized, the infinite capitalized, but individualized is man. But that individualization is not separate from the origin and being on an orbit of its own, but it's still within the infinite self-containment of mind. So when I see man, I see God. If ye have seen me, ye have seen the Father. But let's be careful that we don't think that me is the mortal. That's why I like to put out that term man and say, when you see an idea, you have seen the whole of God. Because each idea is God's idea. So if we have seen an idea, and if we have touched an idea like power, we have touched the power of the infinite. If we have seen an idea of, say, perseverance, we have seen soul. Because it's the idea of soul. We have not just seen perseverance isolated, separate now from the infinite. Because each idea reflects infinitely every other idea. Only the focus changes when we have idea. The focus of an idea like what I did take before, perseverance, is something else than the idea power. But they all are individualizations of the infinite. So I like to think more and more when I think quietly on the bigness of our hopes, of the infinitude of what being is, and seeing that everything that comes to us in the way of holy thought, in the way of promise, in the way of ideas, is always God Himself coming to us. And then I don't belittle that idea. Then I don't restrict that idea. I always have it right back in God, in principle. This leads us to the final statement which Mrs. Eddy gives, to the I, or to the ego, to the us. to the I Am. All capitalized terms. When I see that man is nothing else but mind individualized, then I see there is just one mind, and that's the I. It's no more my personal I or your personal I, it's now the only I there is, the only conscious I there is. And if you look up how Mrs. Eddy defines these terms like I or ego, you will see that they always first define them with capitalized terms, as mind, as spirit, as soul, and as principle. She never goes further to life and truth and love. So because these terms, mind, spirit, and soul, are those terms which enable us to see the unity with principle, the complete unity with principle, through the mind of Christ, through the full reflection of spirit which has no limits, and through the complete identification of idea with its principle, the I, the only I there is then capitalized. Just think about it. I can't teach it. I'm sorry to say so. Perhaps another year I may be able to help better. I can't teach it. It's a spiritual language which has to do with feeling. It speaks through divine feeling, through divine touch. It doesn't speak anymore through words. But that language comes to each one the moment we are still enough to hear God speak. How can we be still enough? By turning off the radio? No. By shutting out all the noises from outside? No, that doesn't give a stillness. The stillness comes when we shut off the old sense of God and men, as we have seen this morning. That this new sense comes only in the measure as we lay off the old men. Then comes stillness. Then consciousness becomes wonderfully still and peaceful. And we only hear two words, infinite principle, infinite idea, and then they begin to speak in a language that is feeling, in a language that does not need terms or words, and therefore it speaks not in English, not in German, it speaks in God's language. You will hear it. Whenever there is a soul and heart still enough, it hears God speak. And what God speaks is a new vision. New, completely new. And it has a comfort, it has a promise. It has a certainty, it has a conviction, nothing else can give. Nothing else can give. This is the I, where God and man, in the old term, are one as a I, or as an us, if you like. But even the I is simpler. So you come to the simplest term, to just one word, I. That I is God and man, is principle and idea, and is infinite principle and infinite idea in one go, as one. And that's the only being there is. And the moment I touch being, naturally you have infinite movement. Because being is not death. Death is static. Being is movement. Is movement of thought. Is movement of vision. Is movement of progression. And we get infinite progression as concrete being. Then you have found your teacher, principle, the stillness of consciousness. That teaches. And at that point I can go over now to the chart. And so we take in front of us the chart and see now from what we have gained what the chart means. First, let me say this. The pinnacle of the Bible is the vision of the city four square. That's how the Bible closes. And in terms, that's the four, and in terms of synonymous term, it is, the pinnacle of the Bible is life, truth, and love. Mrs. Eddy says, God is what the scriptures declare him to be. The scriptures declare him to be. Life, truth, love. This is the pinnacle of the Bible. But the pinnacle of the Christian Science textbook is principle. It is principle, namely, is what science declares to be. Science declares principle to be the highest sense of being. But we know that principle is a symbol for the one being that includes all other synonymous terms, mind, spirit, soul, and life, truth, and love. But its pinnacle is principle. Mr. Dawley said in 49, he said, recently the thought has risen even above oneness. Principle and idea is one. Has risen even above oneness to the fact of one capitalized. So even that sense of principle and idea being one is climaxed in the one, the infinite one. In another passage he says, the summit of spiritual vision is science itself. See, the Bible, highest vision was the city four square, which we know is a symbol for divine science. Here, Mr. Dawley, at the end of his spiritual vision, said there is even a higher plane than divine science, and he called it science itself. That the summit of spiritual vision is science itself, which includes all aspects of the system of divine metaphysics. Science, really, is the term used most in the textbook.